research institutions. Now, Luther College is located in extreme northeastern Iowa. We're right up on the Minnesota border, near Rochester, Minnesota, La Crosse, Wisconsin, near the Mississippi. We're surrounded by tall grass prairies, woods, bluffs, and valleys. And we have these great rivers like the Upper Iowa River that runs right by campus for canoeing and a variety of other outdoor activities. And so we have incredible research sites and field sites for experiential field trips and other types of activities that students can get involved in. Now, biology is one of the largest and most academically challenging majors at Luther College. We graduate about 65 to 75 majors each year. In biology, many pre-meds, actually about half of our graduates go on to professional schools in various health careers, including med school. About a third of our majors actually enter graduate programs, including entomology, and there's at least former students of mine that are in graduate school right now in entomology that are here. One emphasis in our department is what we call teaching through research, and this involves experiential learning, which is an important part of all our courses. This hands-on approach to teaching science is an important part of who we are, primarily as a small liberal arts college. Now, research experiences are essential, as we've already heard, to undergraduates because it helps them develop important skills as biologists. It teaches them how to observe, how to ask questions, how to design experiments, and generally add to the body of scientific knowledge. And at Luther, research occurs in our courses, such as my entomology course that I'm going to talk about today. But it also occurs outside the classroom, in collaborative research with faculty, both during the academic year and during the summer, and at other institutions where students go off and spend their summers as an REU, a research experience for undergraduate intern at various other institutions, and such as Nebraska and Iowa State and a variety of other locations. This happens to be my entomology course this fall, so it's a little bit smaller class. It is an upper-level course for biology majors, but I get anywhere from sophomores through seniors taking it, and very few of them are actually interested in pursuing entomology as a career. The class is currently taught every other fall semester, and the class, and I do have a lab assistant, usually a student who has had the class before, although it gets tough because if I teach it only every other year, many of them have graduated. I don't have any grad students as TAs for the class. I also teach a spring course every spring called Insects, Humans, and the Environment, which is a natural science lab course that fulfills the natural sciences requirement for non-majors for graduation. And I also include investigative research in that course as well. But today I want to focus on my entomology course. So these research projects really are different, I think, than most entomology courses around the country. Because I think from my experience and from talking to students and people that are teaching entomology at other institutions, most introductory entomology courses, I think you have your typical external morphology lab, your internal anatomy lab, maybe a field collections lab, a few field trips to work on insect collections, and then you spend a lot of the semester working through the different orders and families and learning characteristics and natural history by looking at preserved specimens and then keying out many of those specimens. And we always like to call it boring too long and triplicate. You know, we've heard from Chuck this morning some of the other names for the course, for his textbook as well. But the students have to spend time keying out these specimens. And although I designate some of our class time to working on insect collections, I've taken the approach that the students really learn the insect diversity, the natural history and behavior and ecology of these insects, and also start to identify family characteristics simply by working on their own, working on these collections and making their collections. And so I try to focus more of our lab time on developing investigative research skills. Thus, in addition to the usual course objectives for an entomology course of learning the biology and diversity of insects, I have two specific course goals here that relate to developing a set of research skills for my students that benefits them beyond the entomology course. And they can use these in future classes as they go off to graduate school and as their development in their development as scientists. These goals integrate the development of investigative research skills such as critical literature analysis and reading and writing, experimental design, oral and poster presentation skills. But I always use entomological topics that, and especially a research project that they pick and design, which is also always subject to my approval and with my guidance. Now, in the words of a former student, designing and executing experiments, as well as scientific writing, are things you actually have to do and receive feedback about in order to master. And this is one major reason why I include experiential investigative research in all my biology classes. Students need to experience research to help them decide, number one, as we've heard, if this is something they want to do for the rest of their lives. But also they need to experience it because we need to practice to get better at the things that we do. Thus, we begin our introduction to using the primary literature and scientific writing with a class visit to the library early on in the semester. I wouldn't say this is probably your typical entomology field trip early on in your semester, going to the library. I find most of our undergraduates have never before opened a scientific journal. They don't know the difference between a textbook, primary literature, secondary literature, and popular literature. I send them on a scavenger hunt in the library to find examples of each, always using entomological topics. However, because Luther does have limited subscriptions to entomological journals, the students also learn how to use online databases to search the entomological literature, download PDFs, and request reprints of papers not currently available at Luther. In addition to this, I also select about four fairly current articles, maybe from 3 or 4 years ago, from the primary scientific literature each semester that relates to topics that we've discussed in class or maybe seen in a video. And then I hand out reprints of these articles or give them PDFs for them to read. Some examples include articles such as Monarch Butterflies and the Effects of BT Corn, and an article specifically focused on the role of the epicuticle in preventing desiccation, and such as this article by Arthur, seen here. Since we do a directed research project, I'll talk about in a minute, that introduces them to their first major writing assignment in the course. As they read these articles, I give them a series of questions that they need to answer and bring to class when we discuss the article. And I've got a whole variety list of them here. I guess this is the one with the tens in it, isn't it? But these articles can be, these questions can be very simple, and others are more difficult. And they're designed to basically get the students to carefully read the article. They need to identify specific details such as the objectives, goals, or hypotheses of the article or the study. Understand the experimental design, how it was constructed, and how the data were analyzed. What results were drawn from the data, and what those results mean. I also ask them to identify why the research is significant or important enough, and number one, that it was funded, and number two, that it was deemed publishable, something I don't think we often think about. Often these discussions are pretty straightforward, and it is clear the students have a good handle on the article. This is probably because I call on them randomly during our discussions to answer different questions, and they definitely want to be ready. The article that actually generated the most discussion was actually an article that had been submitted for publication in Environmental Entomology, and I had been asked to serve as a peer reviewer on that article. And so in order to give the students a taste of kind of the peer review process, I actually handed out the article to the class. And I knew this would also force me to read through it and get it done quickly and get it back to the ESA. But the problem is I actually did this before I read the article. And asked it very carefully. And so usually when we go in for these discussions, the students come in and they actually have a lot of questions for me. We often don't even get to the official questions that I handed out. Excuse me. But this time they were really quiet and they were pretty reluctant to say anything. But then all of a sudden, one of them kind of piped in and said, I really thought this article sucked, to be honest. And as soon as they realized that it was okay to say that, you know, this manuscript was not written very well, and they had a lot of really good reasons why they thought that. This was actually the third article we had read that semester, so it wasn't something that was kind of brand new to them. And, you know, I think without our previous writing exercises and discussions on these scientific papers and kind of the importance of how you organize a scientific paper, they probably wouldn't have been the critical reviewers that they became on that day. Now, my students also, they make an insect collection as part of this class, but they also complete two fairly significant research projects as well. And the first of these is a fairly simple directed lab experiment where the students abrade the cuticle of mealworm larvae. And I'm actually not sure where I got the idea for this, but it was probably a previous teaching symposium a few years ago. And they simply compare the rates of water loss between abraded mealworms and undamaged mealworms. And to me, the primary purpose of this exercise is not really to learn about the effects of cuticular abrasion on water loss by mealworms, although this does happen, but it's actually get my students used to writing papers in scientific style and format following ESA journal guidelines. We combine all their data, and then they have to, each student has to write up this paper. And they need to do it in full manuscript form with a full introduction, materials and methods, results. Even though I gave them all the methods written out, they have to rewrite them in their own words and kind of change the tense and things like that. Then they have to do the results. They have to come up with a simple graph that shows, such as this one right here, that shows kind of central tendency and variability in the data. And this is actually the data from this fall's class. And then they have to run a simple statistical test, such as a t-test, to analyze the data. And then they have to write up the discussion. And they have, and I require them to cite at least three primary research articles that are relevant to cuticular water loss. Now, I grade these papers very carefully, as if I were an editor, their peer reviewer, or their major professor, and as if they were going to submit it for publication. Now, this does take me a while. As you can see, I use up a lot of red ink, and it does freak the students out when they get their papers back initially, because all they see is this red. Now, this example is a bit excessive, and if you start reading through, you might see why some of these were rewritten. In fact, I like to include, when I go and talk to the students, I talk to them, this is what you're getting back, this is why. And so I kind of give them examples taken from some of the student papers. This is one sentence that a student wrote. Said, the combined weight of three mealworms was determined and put into six separate vials. They didn't put the weight into the vials. They put the mealworms in the vials, and they weighed the mealworms. And so I just try to tell them, be careful about how you're writing. And for many of them, this is the first time that they've seen this. You know, you'll label your numbers 1 through 6. No, they were labeling vials. This is a chance for them to tell them that, look, you don't need to write down in your methods every little label that you wrote down. It's assumed that you kept track of your samples in some way. And so this is another just kind of a teaching opportunity. Here's one. They were quoting an article by Golub saying, stored products such as grains utilize silica aerogels and diatomaceous earth as means to kill off insects. I don't think it was the stored products that were killing off the insects using the earth. I think it was pest control operators that were using diatomaceous earth to kill the stored product pests. Okay, so just trying to make them be clear about how they're writing. And so for many of them, seeing actually going through in this way and kind of trying to rewrite their sentences for them, it's very time intensive for me, but it really helps them to see how they can write in a more clear fashion and much more succinct fashion as well and become better scientific writers. I think this is really crucial to them. So in addition to the insect collection and this mealworm paper, which is due about a third of the way into the class, the other major project for my entomology course is what I call my small group research project. And here I have groups of two or three students that are working together, and they come up with ideas for research on things that they happen to be interested in. I always have a list of about 20 possible topics on things that I think might be appropriate if they simply can't come up with anything, but almost never do they actually use any of the topics off of that list. And so they come up with their own ideas, and they have to develop a research proposal, carry out the research, and then write it up as a scientific paper. Then they end up rewriting the paper, because I go through it again in the same way I did the mealworm paper, and then they develop a poster presentation at the end of the semester. And this actually, these poster presentations actually occurred last week. Now the students have access, to papers from previous entomology courses. I actually keep these papers, and then they develop their own research projects based on their own interests, but maybe on trying to extend some research that some students did in a previous year. And I require them initially to develop a project proposal that has at least 10 relevant references from the primary literature. They have to come up with a very clearly stated goal or hypothesis or objective for the study. They have to describe their experimental design and methodology that they plan to follow, as well as come up with some kind of a timetable for completion of the project. Now they have to actually complete this proposal about somewhere about 2 to 3 weeks into the course. But since we already visited the library on the second or third day of the class, they have an idea of the types of where they can obtain the research or the literature and go to that literature during that period of time. Now one former student that's currently in grad school at Iowa State, unfortunately not in entomology, but he did say about these projects, "The research project was one of the most valuable aspects of your course. As with all group projects, you run into the risk of unfair division of labor among the students, which can make it difficult to evaluate. But you also have to assume at this age they will have some level of responsibility. While there is only so much that can be accomplished in the short time allowed for the project, it still gives students the experiences of forming a hypothesis, doing a literature review, performing the study, writing up the results, and presenting a poster of their work to strangers as well as their peers. These are valuable skills for biologists at any level." Once again, the students write up the results of these projects as fully cited scientific papers, but this time they're working collaboratively. Having group papers obviously cuts down on the amount of grading I have to do at the end of the semester, but it also makes the students be more careful about their own writing. If they're writing the materials and methods, for example, and somebody else has to read it before they turn it in, it is clear to me that by this time in the semester, they're already much improved writers and much more critical of their own writing. And I assume they spend time editing each other's contributions, for these papers are fairly well written when they turn them in compared to the earlier mealworm papers. I grade these papers carefully over Thanksgiving break, and then they have the last 2 weeks of the semester to revise them to improve their grades. And I keep final copies of these final papers with names removed as references for the future classes. The final step is producing poster presentations of their projects. And they do this after they've received the graded comments on the written paper. So they do this also in the last 2 weeks of the semester. It can get a little busy, although the insect collections were due a long time beforehand because of that. I give them clear guidelines and directions on what constitutes a good poster presentation. And we talk about how a poster is different from an oral paper and also from a written manuscript. They then present their posters to the class, and I have their peers participate in the grading on the content, the design, and the presentation of these posters. Following the class poster session, at the end of each semester, Luther College also has an undergraduate science research symposium to which the entire college is invited. Now this past week we had 67 posters from 8 different courses, and also some faculty-student collaborative research projects that were presented at this poster session. And we do this at the end of each semester. My entomology students not only presented their posters, but they also showed off their insect collections, served a few chocolate-covered crickets, and they played with Madagascar hissing cockroaches. So the students were proud of what they had accomplished and excited to show off their entomology to the wider Luther community. Now working on these experiential projects within the class has clearly helped the students become much better and more critical writers, as well as have helped them carry out and learn how to carry out and design research projects. This gives them the confidence and skills that help many of them as they work on projects in other upper level courses, on their senior projects, and as they head off to summer research internships or off to graduate school. Another one of my former students has said, creating critical thinkers and good writers should be a major goal of all coursework, and your entomology class did that, and is part of what is making my transition to graduate school so smooth. I'm very proud of the 12 so far biology alumni from Luther who have entered entomology graduate programs since I began teaching entomology there 15 years ago. And except for Liz Dykstra here in the middle, who happens to be a Luther grad, all of these ESA members took my entomology course. This was last night over in Old Town. Now of these, only one of these students actually came to Luther knowing he eventually wanted to be an entomologist. Almost all of these students decided to pursue entomology after taking the course. So I think the research skills that I've tried to pass on my students have made them competitive for graduate school, for competing for ESA awards, and entering student competitions. We've had a BioQuip undergraduate scholar, an Islin Associates undergraduate scholar, which unfortunately that scholarship doesn't exist anymore, and an Entomological Foundation undergraduate scholar when we had both a BioQuip and an entomological